675. 675 will be the song of invitation after Brother Robert's lesson. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 530. 530. After this song, Bill, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Praise the Lord.
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not fall. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in pastures green. He
You know, as we talk about the nature of God and the ways that He deals with mankind, we've got to, at this point in time, raise this question to our minds. The nature of God, so loving, so compassionate, so forgiving, so wishing for us to serve Him and follow His way, that we've already demonstrated by a number of verses and illustrations. What does the Lord expect of us? What can we see about the Lord and His way in our daily walk of life? As we look in the page of the Bible, we see some things about this in Jesus' own teaching. In Luke chapter 16, I'd like for you to follow along with me as I read here these 12 verses that so tell us about life after our death. As was the life after the death of a man who was so well thought of and so well known, Lazarus. In Luke chapter 16, beginning verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes in Hades, the place of the dead. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him, that's Lazarus, to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And Abraham said to him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This is a look into afterlife. Jesus himself is speaking and giving this information. And he's talking about two men that were vastly different in the way that they lived here on this earth. One was a very wealthy man, clothed in purple and fine linen, illustrated the way that his dress was from day to day. Not tattered garments, not the best of garments that you might have out there on the ground or on the walkway to his house, as was Lazarus' situation. A certain beggar laid at his gate, and he had sores upon his body. The only comfort that he could get was comfort from a dog's tongue that came and licked on his sores as he was there. He smelled the food, and he smelled the things that would be dropping from the rich man's table. He knew that crusted up and fixed up food like that would have something that would fall off. And he desired to be fed with just the crumbs that fell off this man's table. But he was not given anything, and ultimately he died. The scripture gives a great import to words of Jesus about his death. He died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Abraham, the patriarch of the Old Testament, listed us in Genesis 12, on down the line. He is one who was going to be a blessing. He was going to have children like the sands of the sea. He's still having children today, spiritually speaking, because everybody is baptized into Christ is added to the seed of Abraham. Galatians 3 tells us that. And the Lord is still fulfilling His promise made back yonder with Abraham. You will have children as the sands of the sea. But at that time, he didn't have a child. And at that time, when he was instructed about a child, he got an idea in mind that maybe it was by way of the handmaiden who served his wife Sarah that he would have a child. But God readily told him that that was not the original plan, that was not the son of promise. And that he and Sarah, they both laughed about the idea. They were well stricken in years. The idea of this being something that could be accomplished nevertheless happened, because the question was asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? Abraham was a faithful person to God, and now he is represented as receiving Lazarus into his bosom. He's sheltering him. He's comforting him. His spiritual being. We realized in an earlier study back a few weeks ago that in Ecclesiastes 12, it tells us that the body shall return to the dust from which it was made, but the spirit returns unto God who gave it. So we know that this is the spiritual side of Abraham, that as he died, the angels took his spiritual side, his inner man, onto the bosom of Abraham. It also tells us in this regard that the rich man died and was buried. Just a small set of words. He died. They came and buried him. No doubt in our minds, but what being as wealthy as he was and the circumstances of his life and now his death, he probably had a humongous crowd of people that came to visitation time. He probably had a whole bunch of folks that were wondering if they were part of some of the will or some of the plans that he had made after his life here on this earth. His father was still living. Leastwise, he spoke of his father, and his five brothers were still living here upon this earth anyway. Maybe he was identifying them as being his direct descendants and offspring and siblings to him, and my father's five sons, and send Abraham back, send him back, Lazarus back, to testify to them. Upon being told that, this statement back to him was a statement of the ages. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them, your five brothers back home, hear what they have to say. God always intended that his word, directed through the prophets, through Jesus, through Peter, Paul, James, and Jude, that his word be the guiding source of not only their lives at that day and time, but on down the stream of time. Paul will say to Timothy, the things I have heard and learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will teach others also. Down the stream of time, aren't we grateful? I know I am, and I know that you are too. That someone taught somebody who taught somebody who taught somebody who taught somebody who taught your grandfather, grandmother, your dad, your mom, taught you how to obey the gospel and be a faithful Christian to the Lord today. It's by the word of God directed. But the rich man had no knowledge about this idea. And he began to argue the case back with Lazarus and Abraham. Nay, Father Abraham, if he went to them from the dead, I know they wouldn't do anything short of repenting. You know, a lot of people preach to that never get around to repenting. They never get around to make a decision for the Lord. But he was sure that they would repent. If somebody went to them from the dead, gives us the impression perhaps that they, the five brothers, were around there. They knew when he died. They knew that when he was buried away where he was. Circumstances of that, they knew. And they would be, out of their minds, persuaded and repent of their wicked ways if he went back. But Abraham's reply is even more significant than the first one. If they would not be persuaded from Moses and the prophets, neither would they be persuaded though one went to them from the dead. In your minds, in my mind, we've seen that happen. We've seen people pass away and promises being made and never really kept. I'm still waiting for a man to come and visit with us here whose good brother was as faithful and helpful person to this church as anybody has been in business. And he said at the time of his passing and before, you can count on me to be a part of faithfulness in the church. It's been now several years of time. We haven't seen him except at a funeral service here at all. What do we have here? Why was the rich man lost? One might say, well, because he didn't feed Lazarus or help him with even the crumbs that fell from his table. But since Moses and the prophets are named by Jesus here, what if we do go back to the book of Deuteronomy of Moses and chapter 15 of the book of Deuteronomy and begin at verse 7 through verse 11 about responsibility to the poor and needy of the land. The rich man did not heed in his lifetime the message of the Lord's words. Why was he lost, and why was he on the torment side of the afterlife? He was there because he did not follow what God had revealed through Moses. This is the case that he was disobedient to the word of the Lord. What do we find in this way for you and for me today? Well, we'll find a way in which the Bible tells us vividly when Paul wrote to the brethren at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we use words, we persuade men. We're teaching men, we're persuading people, we're preaching to them. In our modern day and time, we get it on radio. We see it on television. Oh, wonderful teaching done this afternoon, counterpoint by Mike Hickson and Brother Clark, B.J. Clark. Wonderful teaching that was done by the good brother and his ways and his work of the eternal truth. And of course, good teaching done and direct application to it by Brother John Shannon, who when I'm in a crowd of people and he's preaching in a lecture program, he looks out and says, Brother Rawson, is that you out there? And I say, yes, it is. He says, you ought to be up here preaching instead of me. He loves me that much and I love him, John Shannon. The message is the message of the gospel. It's to be followed today, just like back there in Deuteronomy 15. We read where people of God were to follow God's teaching. And when this man didn't do it in his lifetime, the result of it was he didn't care and didn't care enough to help in any way Lazarus in his life. But more especially, he was disobeying the word of God. When you and I get there on that day, we have been persuaded, like Paul says, with these words, I persuade men. Will we be persuaded by the words that we have read from Jesus, from Peter and Paul and James and Jude, in the New Testament books of the Bible, a about how to live and how to behave and how to do in this life. How to ask God's forgiveness as we go along. John will write about that in 1 John 1 when he talks about when we come into the fellowship of the Father and the Son, we have wonderful blessings. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We will be clean in the sight of God. We'll be forgiven in the sight of the Lord. It's as though we did not sin. God's view of it is so clear and complete. He removes our sin from us in forgiveness as the east is from the west. Wonderful God of heaven who cares about us and wants us to follow his way. This is the nature of this God. But this nature of the God of heaven, as is illustrated by Jesus in the afterlife of Luke 16, is not without responsibility that God's word had given to him, nor that we have today. John later in the book of Revelation will come to this particular thought again. Directed by the Spirit of God, he'll write the following in this way. In Revelation chapter 22, beginning at verse 17, if you would add unto the words of the prophets of this book, God shall add unto you the plagues that are written therein. If you take away from the words of the prophets of this book, God shall take away your part out of the book of life, from the holy city, and from all the blessings that are written in this book. Lest we think it's just the book of Revelation, that same repetition thing is done back there in the book of Deuteronomy and in the book of Proverbs. And thus the idea of just Deuteronomy and Proverbs and Revelation, well, that would be enough. That'd be enough. But at the same time, I want to be on business of following what Jesus said and what Peter and Paul and James and Jude, what they did on this matter. We talk about the right things of God. We're talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as well. What a blessing it is to have the opportunity to follow God's word. We're told that in America, we average about 4 copies of the Bible in every home in America. No matter how wealthy or how poor, every home has the availability to 4 copies of the Scripture. That being the case, we ought to learn more and more about what to say and do about answering questions. Instead of saying, I want to tell you what I believe about it, and I want to tell you right now what you ought to be doing about it, and rearing our families maybe in that sort of roughhousing sort of language, we ought to have been people all the time, and we ought to continue today to be the people who say, have you ever read about that subject in the Scripture, in the Bible? Have you ever read about that subject? Would you turn with me to this particular passage in the Bible and be alert enough about it to where the basic areas are located in the Scripture about that way of life? And then to point out what is said right here about a righteous way of life to be lived. When the Apostle Paul addressed Timothy in regard to this matter and how he was to live and behave and do, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, he reminds him, don't let any man despise your youth. Don't live in such a way that they despise seeing you come down the road, that they despise you sitting there in the crowd with them. They despise you because they know you're not living the way that you taught them that you were living. So it is that let no man despise your youth. 1 Timothy 4:12 goes on to say 6 things about life. He tells them right there and there about it. He says, but be thou an example of the believer in the words that you say, in the manner of life, your conversation, the whole manner of life that you do, in the love that you say that you have. Let's stop there just a moment. What if a person out here is an example of such a way that no one will trust that person with a child? Let's just say that they're going to shop at the store and they're going to buy some groceries and they won't be gone but a few minutes, but they're going to have this child trusted to this person. Would you trust that child to just anyone that you know? No, we don't do that today. In fact, the business, we can be prosecuted by the law of the land for the neglect of a child, to have that child to be taken care of by somebody that we know that we wouldn't leave them with, and leave them with them anyway. The idea is to leave them with people that we trust, people that we know can be trusted, people who are good people, people who are helpful people. Be thou an example to the believer in the words that you use and the manner of life that you show to people. Honesty, dependability, promise made, forthright. I've still got a man down in Tumalone County that tells me that he's still waiting for a repairman to come who promised him now 15 years ago, I'll be right over, when he called him for a need that he had, be it a washer, dryer, or whatever. I'll be right over. But his right over time hadn't occurred yet. I told him last time we were talking about that, I said, give me a call when you get the call. He hadn't called, he hadn't interrupted my phone yet in regard to what took place. Make the promises in life and be it known. Reckon how many folks this man would recommend to that company. You get this company to come over and they'll serve you well. They'll help you well. When Miss Jane and I moved in over this way, we called one of our companies that we trust and love and do business with. The head of the company didn't have people out, but every kind of different place. But he was available. He brought the washer and the dryer. And brought them up those back steps of the house right there. Seat them and put them in there. Just exactly right. Well, we've got things on that back door now. He couldn't get in the back door now without our moving things along the way. But do you think we trusted him? Do we think we recommend him to have a couch and chair and a piece of equipment that'll work for them? Well, sure we would. There are people in this old earth in which we live whose example is their bond, whether they realize it or not. If I'm a person who goes about telling the truth, that'll be known. If I'm a person who goes about who lies to folks right and left, that'll be known. What we do in life and our conversation of life is well known by everybody, not just the family, the neighborhood too, the schoolmates as well, the people with whom we work and labor from day to day and go to the ball games with, abound where we sit around with them. They know who we are by our manner of life and our love. If we have a love for God above everything, a love for Him and a love for Him in our ways, don't you know it's going to be a peaceful way for us to go to a hurt and a pain that takes our earthly life? We'll go to the one that we loved more than life itself. In love. Then Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, let no man despise your youth. But as you go forth in life, in your words and your conversation of life and in your love, have a certain spirit about it that doesn't get on to people and get in people's faces and hurt them and harm them and drive them away from the way that you're living and doing. Use that spirit in such an enthusiastic way, in such a good way, that people want to be a part of the ball playing that you do, the coaching that you do, the work that you do. They want to trust your vehicle to you. They want to trust their family with you. They want to trust things of value to them, to you, because of your spirit and faith. I want your faith to be an example that when you give in faith, when you pray, you pray in faith. When you labor, as you go forth to work and trust the Lord, you have that faith. You believe that He is with you and that He will help you. And everything is going to be better. And then he closes out. Be an example in purity. Be an example in the way that you're pure in your thinking about life. Don't let it be something that is vulgar, something that is unwholesome, something that's against the ways of God that you're practicing and doing in life. Be pure in your thinking, pure in the language that you choose to use, pure in your example of life. It's a blessing. You may see there being a mixture of things in regard to all these words. Your words, your manner of life, your love. You see it mixed in with the ideas, and it is. Because there's an attitude that goes along with each one of these. And that attitude can be helped and blended with by the first three of these things that we mentioned here. Your word, your conversation, your spirit. But when you have the opportunity to have a way of life by which you can have love and purity, and you can have a way of doing good and godly things, it'll make things right and good for you. This God of heaven taught us these things. It's revealed in His Word. It's by which Paul says, Timothy, you follow this way of life and you'll be an example of righteousness. Paul talks about that righteousness before he leaves this earth in 2 Timothy 4. He'll say, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. You see, the righteousness by which he lived is not ended. Now then, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. It's right for him to give it to me. It's right for me to wear it. It's not out of place with me. I've been forgiven of my sins and wrongdoings. And I have a blessing from God. Then Paul says, but not for me only. This crown of righteousness is not for me only, but unto all them also, all of them, who love His appearing. That love that Paul talked about to Timothy that he needs to have in his daily walk of life, that love is right here to be a love that he has. And as he has that love, he's going to have a reward someday. This song tonight talks about some of that ideas, about following the ways of the Lord and doing His right ways and being blessed of God whose good teaching is the direction way that the rich man, remember, still wants his brothers to be taught. And they'll be taught it only by Moses and the prophets under which they lived. We will be taught it by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter, Paul, James, and Jude in our day. Let's follow God's Word as we direct ourselves in life and learn from it and be what God has called upon us to be. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation, would you come to Him as we stand together and sing this song tonight?
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's decline. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to Him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest highest, I will come to the kingdom, leaving the past.
Whisper sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee. Peace be still in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, once again gather around your throne to worship you this night, Father, we pray, Spirit and Church. Thanking you for this day, for the opportunities that we've had to be here with our brothers and sisters, and Father, to remember your Son, who gave so much for us. Thank you for the lesson that we've heard tonight. Father, may we see the need of those around about us, and may we respond as you have taught us to feed the hungry, to take care of the orphans, to seek out the widows, and Father, to help those in the world that need help. Especially, Father, to make sure that they have the gospel preached to them in such a way that they can become Christians like we are. Thank you for Brother Robert. We thank you for the work that he does here, and thank you for listening to him. Father, we pray that you give them a long life, that they may serve here. And Father, we pray that much good can be done. Help us, Father, as we go through this week. May we look to your word as a lamp unto our feet and a guide to our way. And Father, we pray that you'll be with us in the things that we do this week, that we may accomplish much. Father, we know that the times that we fail you, that we sin. Father, we pray that we can overcome our weaknesses, that we will stand justified.